It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. Reports from NAFB in Kansas City. Trade Talk brought to you by Agrium ESN, Environmentally Smart Nitrogen. And here at DuPont Pioneer booth, we're visiting with Jeff Matasius, who is another research guru. And you've done some studies. By the way, great to see you again after Dakota Fest last summer.
Yep, nice to see you again as well.
Yeah. Done some studies, research on nitrogen and potassium. Let's see, was it a P and K study or NP and K?
P and K.
All right. Well, and those are things that farmers have just discovered recently that they do benefit the yield.
Certainly do. It's important to think about those, and then we've got a little bit of a research project that I can talk about with you here.
All right. So who said we ought to do this research?
We talk to our customers. We ask our customers a lot of questions, and they give us a lot of answers. And thinking about all the things of crop management, P and K were one of the things that filtered to the top that we haven't addressed recently that we wanted to take a look at this year.
All right. And so then how did you do the research and where?
Yep. So as part of our Growing Point Agronomy effort, where we do a lot of on-farm research with our customers, we've got about 10,000 locations year in and year out. And this year, as a subset of that overall effort, we had a very focused effort with potassium and phosphorus characterization of our Growing Point Agronomy trials. And so we took about 22,000 soil samples across 12 states, kind of through the Corn Belt, on about 9,000 fields. And that's kind of been the scope of the project.
So you gathered the data, and how are you analyzing it?
So right now we have a summary that's just kind of a report card of what we found in terms of P and K levels. And as it relates to the kind of the Dakotas, what we found for the Dakotas in particular was phosphorus deficiencies were about 50% of the fields that we saw phosphorus deficiencies on. And for potassium, about 18 to 20% of the fields had a potassium deficiency that we saw across Dakotas.
All right. And any particular location, or is this just generally speaking?
Yeah, this is generally speaking. We do have location-specific information, but to kind of roll it up at a high level, certainly there's some lows and some really highs, but overall we saw that kind of a range for deficiencies for P and K in the Dakotas.
All right. Well, the point of the research is, what do you do about it? And I guess what are your recommendations?
Right. So right now, again, this is just a report card. We're getting yield data coming in through here through the fall and into the winter. And this winter we'll be taking a look at that yield data as it relates to those locations that had fertility sampling and really trying to understand more about the impacts on fertility in their crop. Also, as part of that, it's important to remember that we've got some great tools with Encirca Fertility. This type of information helps fuel those tools, and those tools really help customers allocate their dollars where they're needed most for lime, P, and K.
Sure.
If they've got yield history, they know their soils, if they know their soil sample results, we can feed that information into the system and really allocate the P and K on the acre that needs it and don't do it where it's not needed.
So the easiest way to utilize and make money off of your research is to use the Encirca platform.
Yeah, Encirca certainly can help with some of these insights for P and K as well as nitrogen.
So that was last year's project. What's coming up for next year, or are you just going to continue this research?
So going into 2017, certainly about another 10,000 or so locations are being planned. We're really focusing on things like the digital acre. And the promise of data science, there's a lot of things that we continue to learn about knowing a lot of things about a specific field's layers of information. The more that we know about a farmer's field, the more that we can help be prescriptive on answering a lot of questions at a subfield level.
I think the term is dig down into the data, but we're digging down into the data so we can dig down in the field more efficiently.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we've been doing well. I think the data science will help us get even better with it.
All right, very good. All right, it's Jeff Matasius, DuPont Pioneer, and you're doing some great research on P&K. And, again, best way to utilize this research is to talk to a local DuPont Pioneer guy?
Yep, find your local sales pioneer. Find your local Pioneer sales rep or agronomist, as well as resources are on pioneer.com and our Growing Point Agronomy app. Our Growing Point Agronomy app has over 1,000 publications from A to Z addressing everything from crop management to disease and insects. So that's a great opportunity to find some things on your own as well.
All right. And that you can sit in the tractor cab and read those or help you as you're going to bed at night, right?
That's right.
Okay, super. All right, Jeff, great to see you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Stop by the United Soybean Board, the Soy Checkoff folks, and the chairman of the United Soybean Board this year, Emerato, North Dakota farmer Jared Hager. Jared, how are you enjoying the year?
Really enjoying it, Mick. Really enjoying it. Went by pretty quick.
And it's what, 3 weeks? A month from now?
Yeah, about a month from now. So time's winding down. I think the guys at the farm are marking off the days on the calendar.
And they'd rather keep you gone a lot, or are they going to be happy to have you back?
They'll be happy to have me back.
That's good. Well, you're done. We'll find out. So what have, I guess, tell us some of your success stories for this year. What do you feel you have accomplished as the at the helm of the United Soybean Board?
Well, you know, there's only so much you can do as chair, and really you want to make sure the organization stays pointed in the direction that the board's decided. And with our long-range strategic plan or implementation of it, we're just rolled into it here a month ago. And, you know, we really set a great direction for FY17 through FY21. Pretty proud of that. Really proud of the board and their desire to look at things in terms of value instead of volume. You know, we've got a lot of beans in North Dakota. We got a lot of beans in the United States. It's really not about how much volume that is, but it's about the value creation opportunities we'll have with those bushels.
Yeah. You said new direction for the next five fiscal years. Sometimes farmers are uncomfortable with the term new direction. What are the directions that you're headed?
Well, what we've identified for a vision for those 5 years is that U.S. soy drives innovation beyond the bushel. So what we've done is we've focused on three areas: meal, oil, and sustainability. It's pretty apparent with the first two. That's the protein and oil that we produce with our soybeans, and we need to do that in a sustainable manner, and we are. I mean, we're always searching for continuous improvement practices on our farms. It's never-ending. And when we identified those areas, we decided to look at our value chain. So we've got supply, where we grow the product, marketplace, where the value is determined, and then demand, where we can understand what our end users need and want and communicate that back down the chain. So all in all, it's finding that the value capture opportunities for U.S. soybean farmers and being that the conduit up and down the value chain that's really altruistic for U.S. soybean farmers.
Right. Is it exports, or what's important to producers to kind of improve the profit picture?
Well, there's the three areas. Meal, you know, 97% of U.S. soybean meal is consumed by animals. So whether that's swine, poultry, or aquaculture, we need to make sure that we're providing the product that they need. So one of the things that we've done to directly address it in the upper Midwest is a proof of concept project with a private seed company to take and raise our protein levels by 1.5% in the short term. You know, we realize that we've got a great product. We just need to keep improving on it. Yeah. On the oil side of it, we've got high oleic soybean oil that was focused on groups 1 through 5 maturity. But that's a great market that we're regaining lost market share, taken over from other competing oils. In sustainability, we're identifying what our end users need and value for sustainability metrics, and talking to farmers about how sustainable we really are. You know, we are sustainable. And you know, when we think about sustainability, it's real easy to compare North Dakota farmers to South Dakota farmers to Arkansas farmers, soybean farmers, you know, and we've got to kind of refrain from doing that. And it's really about that continuous improvement of your own operation, identifying things that you can add or do differently, and really learning, taking the opportunity to learn from others and implement practices on your farm that can help benefit not only the community, but your bottom line.
Yeah. Jared Haggard, chairman of the United Soybean Board. Jared, I think farmers appreciate the effort that you've made and the work that you do. They heard every word you just had said, but I think you had them at increased protein level by 1.5%. Now, is this for guys south of I-80, or is this going to be for the northern soybean growers too?
It's the upper Midwest.
Uh-huh.
You know, realizing that most of our beans in the North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, northern tier of Nebraska and parts of Iowa, you know, all of that gets pushed out the PNW. And once it leaves those ports on the PNW, you know, it's not North Dakota soybeans. It's not Minnesota soybeans. They're U.S. soybeans. And we've got a huge competitor in South America, in Brazil, that is a little bit better situated in their position to the equator for production of protein than what we are in the upper Midwest. So this is really focused on the upper Midwest because there's no opportunity to really bring those beans down the Mississippi and blend higher protein beans in to raise that protein profile of the shiploads or cargoes that go overseas, but really focusing on those areas and, you know, figuring out how to capture that value. You know, if we're going to increase that protein level, we want to see that additional market opportunity come back to us, and that leads you to a constituent pricing platform to help achieve that.
All right. Check off dollars at work is what it comes down to, right?
Exactly. Making your check off pay off.
Yeah, excellent. Jared Hager, chairman of the United Soybean Board, for another month, and then what? I mean, you still rotate around the table for a year or three, don't you?
Yep. Just got reappointed for my final three-year stint as a director on the United Soybean Board from the Secretary of Agriculture. So looking forward to the opportunity there. Next year, I will be serving as the immediate past chair and chair of our Strategic Management Committee. So it'll keep me busy for a little while longer.
Excellent. And North Dakota and South Dakota have bragging rights as a fair number of directors on the USB 70. Now, how many is it now?
It's 70 right now. It'll be 73 in December. The next time the directors are reapportioned, North Dakota should see their, we should hit our max at four.
Excellent. All right. Well, that great news. So, Jared, thanks for, and maybe you had a little hand in that too, so thank you.
All right. No, thank you, Mick. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
All right. You bet.